Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this, the tax day edition of the podcast, it is April 11th, 2010. We will talk to you about the science of mind reading, whether or not a mentor is a necessity for any young magician, why Nick Cage loves playing prestidigitators, and the latest on Lance Burton. Also, stay tuned a little later to hear about a fantastic show that's going on in New York City at the very, very beginning of May. And in fact, our two guests today will be a few of the people that you will see if you do take that particular show in. One of them is a returning regular guest on this podcast, and the other we are very, very pleased to have on for the first time, Eric DeCamps and Paul Gertner. How you doing, Paul and Eric?
Doing great.
I am doing great.
Very excited to be here. It's been a while.
I know. It's been a little bit, DeCamps.
I thought, I got to tell you, I think you disowned me for a little while there.
Oh, stop it. We just, we have a lot of people that want to come on,
Yeah, I know. I'm only kidding.
We got to keep it moving. We can't this week in Eric DeCamps.
Well, not only that, I've been on the road a lot, so.
You have? Yeah, you've been out to Spain. We'll talk a little bit about that. And thank you very, very much for making time for us, Paul. You're out on the road right now, right?
But yeah, I just landed in L.A., going to run and hit the Magic Castle Award dinner tonight, and got nominated for a lecture, so I thought, I'll come out. It sounds like they got a great show lined up with, Ed Alonso and Armando, the whole bit. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to just seeing the show.
Well, that I'll tell you what, you got to give us a report back to the site, and we'll put it up tomorrow on Monday.
Okay.
All right. Well, here, let me just remind everybody that this episode of the Magic Week in Review, as are all the episodes, they are brought to you by TrickShopMagic.com, bringing you the brick and mortar magic shop experience to the internet one click at a time. And what can you find there? Well, you can find The Gecko by Jim Rosenbaum, Mojo by John Kennedy, and Tarantula by Yigal Masika, among many, many other things, including our buddy Joshua Jay's book, Magic, The Complete Course. If you don't have it now, it makes a great gift for somebody who's just kind of getting into magic. And he does a fantastic job. Right, Eric?
He certainly does. I know I've known Josh for a long time, and it's an incredible book. It's an incredible package. I wish I would have had that when I got started.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to his new one, his new card book.
I heard about it, lines. Yeah.
Yeah. Should be awesome. But anyway, Magic the Complete Course is available at TrickShopMagic.com. Head on over there right now. Do your old friend Justin a favor. Click on over to TrickShopMagic.com, buy something, and tell Sam Blankenship, our friend over there, that I Trick sent you, so he knows that this money is not being thrown into a pile and lit on fire. Anyway, TrickShopMagic.com, your brick and mortar magic shop experience, one click at a time. Let's start with the first story of this this week here. A new brain scan machine by Intel is claiming it can discern freely chosen words and objects thought in a test subject's mind. Let's start with you, Paul. Is it just a matter of time before science eliminates the need for our puny parlor tricks?
I don't know. I mean, I just was at the Mac store last week, and they said, you got to look at the iPad. And it sort of made me say that to my wife, I said, no, there's going to be a use for magic anymore when that little thing is so magical looking and what it does. So it'll be interesting to see what develops.
Well, and it's funny that even you say that, because that's been the official part of the official text for the iPad has been the use of the term magical. They throw that around.
But I got to tell you guys, I don't think so. I mean, they said that about the cotton gin, that it was going to knock everything out. Back in the 19th century. I don't think so. According from what I read from Intel, the machine has a 90% accurate guess rate on a subject's choice between two words, right? That's a 90% accuracy on a 50-50 chance. Come on. Come on. With our parlor tricks, we can predict a word choice from literally a choice of tens of thousands of words with 100% accuracy. You do the math, Justin. What's more impressive?
Oh, huh? Yeah. I mean, here's what I would say. I mean, and we kind of joked around on the side that this was the inky poo to the mentalist John Henry. But I kind of am on your side here, Eric. I think that it's something that will be cool, and I think in a more streamlined application could be something more impressive than, you know, here, read these three things while we take a brain scan, and then
eventually
we'll be able to tell which one you're thinking of. But, you know, I think that that's the cool thing about magic is that it is always on the other side of what can be proven. So,
well, here's the thing.
What's going to happen when people can when things are able to be teleported? Eventually that will happen.
Well, they're going to be half human, half fly, I think. That's always a problem.
Well, no, but I mean, if somebody's able to buy a little kit that's going to make something literally fade away or something be a holographic image right in front of them, it'll be interesting to see how magicians react to that and how we deal with that. And not that I think magic will fade away, but it's going to be fascinating. I mean, I'd love to be here 100 years from now and see how magicians are dealing with the technology that you and I can't even imagine right now.
Well, that's what I think in the Magic Week in Review episode right after MagicCon, where we put together all the little mini interviews that we did while we were at the conference. I spoke with Bill Kalush about what magic would look like in 50 years, and his point was, you know, with the coming singularity, who knows? You know, when we are all one collective consciousness by way of technology, you know, who knows? Who is a layman when everybody knows every magic fact ever learned?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, if you're pitting science against magic, I mean, they're two different things. One's an art form. The other one is science, right? But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. Even with our simple, like you quoted, simple parlor tricks, there are at least one thing I know for sure is that what we do is a lot more entertaining and a lot more fun. As you recall, back in 2007, Justin, I was involved with the first World Science Festival here in New York. You know, for 10 days, I had dozens upon dozens of events scheduled around New York City. And what was the first show to sell out?
Yours.
That's right. The show that I was involved with was called Brain Tricks. And the premise of that program was to pair a world-class magician with a neuroscientist. In this particular case, it was a guy by the name of Eric Hazeltine. Right, I got it. And you know, I warmed up the crowd at the beginning with my parlor tricks and introduced Dr. Hazeltine, who then went on to lecture about perception and mind tricks. And he had videos, PowerPoint presentation charts, and all kinds of examples. And at the end, he did something I asked him not to do. And that was to challenge the audience to use their newly acquired knowledge to figure out my next presentation.
Really?
Absolutely. I was a little upset by that because I specifically told him not to do that. Because in the audience, instead of enjoying what I did, the audience was now in a combative mode. So, of course, I came out and did one of the best performances of my egg bag routine that I've ever done. And I went back to the crowd, got an ovation. Not only did the audience love what I did, they didn't care how I did it. They were just happy that I did. And the icing on the cake for me was, at the finish, this scientist, Dr. Hazeltine, looked at me and said, "I didn't know you're going to be that good."
Yeah, in your face, so, doctor.
Yeah, so you know, that's a strike one for magic. So let's see, you know, give magic a point. Magic gets a point there.
And I heard, and we can either confirm or deny that you are also now performing at the Stark Expo.
Which is funny because the Stark Expo is about, I'm looking at it now at my window. I can see Flushing Meadow. But let's not get on to that.
Of course not. Sorry, Paul, I think I cut you off.
No, I'm here.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's move on to the next story here. One of our new columnists, Jordan Wright, wrote about the need of young magicians to get a mentor. In these heady days of message boards and YouTube, how important do you think a mentor is? Well, we'll start with you, Eric.
Well, I wish I had a mentor. I made a lot of friends with established magic heroes, but I never had a mentor to guide me. I truly regret that. And if you look at today's most successful magicians, at one point or another, they were mentored by someone. Of course, there were always exceptions to the rule, but the road traveled is a lot smoother if you have a mentor guiding you. And honestly, I'm not a big fan of the YouTube generation of magic. Magic is a performing art, and it's designed to be done in front of a live audience. not in front of a one-eyed camera, and in many cases, edited footage or very creative angles. But I know that Paul's had a mentor, so he can give you a little bit more detail than I did.
Yeah, I've had a number of them over the years. And the first was when I was 16 years old, and I met a guy who, you know, I was interested in magic, and I met a guy, Ron Slanina, and he did, so he would live right near me, did very, very fine sleight of hand stuff. I mean, had all the Hierophants and Kabbalahs and Paul Bearer's Review and Vernon books. And so I would go to Ron's house every Thursday, never paid him a cent. And we would, you know, I mean, he would show me the new stuff, would work on it together. But I mean, I can remember the very first time he placed a coin in his hand and it vanished. And I had no concept that that was possible. And then I realized there's a whole another level here. I was learning little things like the glide and stuff like that. But the interesting thing was it became kind of a working relationship. And I, you know, learned everything I could from Ron for about 5-6 years. And then eventually met Eddie Fechter and started to go to see him. And eventually met Eddie Tulloch, and he was sort of a mentor in the trade show field. So
now, Paul, didn't you used to hitchhike up to see Fechter?
Well, I actually hitchhiked the very first convention I attended there. Yeah. And I was supposed to go up with Ron. And Ron kind of, he couldn't make it at the last minute. His work, he was a little older than me, 10 years older. He had a real job, and he couldn't take off. And my car had broken down. I had an old car. It broke down. So I was going one way or another, and I hitched and got the Fechters. And,
where were you going from? How far was that? So Pittsburgh to?
Pittsburgh to Buffalo, New York. It's about 6 hours trip. You know,
yeah.
But, you know, 250, 300 miles, 250.
And how
miles.
Old are you?
I was 18.
Try that now.
I was 18. So, and my parents were, my dad wasn't living, but my mom was fine with it. I mean, you know, it was just what we did back then.
Yeah, no, it was
I don't
different,
even know she knew.
I can guarantee you never told Mrs. Gertner.
So. But and then Eddie Fechter, you know, it was interesting for me. The mentor thing was interesting because not only did I have a mentor in the performing technique, that was Ron. Technique. He wasn't a performer necessarily. Mm-hmm. He was a technician more. And then Fechter was both technician and performer. Okay, so that was a great mentor. And then Tulloch was technique, performer, and businessman.
Right.
And so. What a package, you know, so to get that, and they were stepped, you know, so each one added another layer to the whole picture. And so, you know, I mean, you couldn't beat it.
Yeah, I see. I knew about the other mentors, but I didn't know about Eddie Tulloch being your mentor. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Eddie was at the first trade show I worked, and he took me aside and says, here's what you should be charging. And, you know, of course, I was charging through an agency pennies on the dollar. And, you know, I said, what? You're actually getting this kind of, oh, yeah, you're a young guy. You're good. Eventually, you'll start to get this kind of money. And, I mean, I remember Eddie, you know, telling me, you know, how to work the shot crowd. And he would, he'd come up to me at a trade show. And the classic thing he'd always say is at the end of the show is, where are you going after the show? And I'd say, well, nowhere, thinking he wanted to go somewhere. He says, well, then why are you performing so fast? Slow down.
Oh, that.
And he would do that for 5, 6, 7 years to me. You know, because I would go on trade show mode and perform like a robot. And, you know, and it's a hard not to do in a trade show. It's a bad habit. Trade shows are terrible working grounds that way. And but Tulloch, you know, he was a great mentor. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nick Cage apparently had the idea to star in the upcoming Sorcerer's Apprentice film while he was shooting Next, which, if you remember, is a movie in which his character plays a real-life mind reader who's working as a Las Vegas magician. He told a WonderCon audience in Florida last week that he really, really, really likes playing magicians. Why do you think that this is kind of such a fun thing for a guy like Nick Cage, Paul?
Oh man! I mean, I think I think any actor would love the chance to, you know, play the role of a magician. He can do anything he wants. I mean, you've got the magic of the movie aspect happening. So essentially, there are no limitations, and that would be fun. I mean, it'd be fun to be an actor, and they say you get to play a magician. Of course, they have a certain idea of what a magician should be in their mind. So, But I mean, I think the unlimited possibilities of
without a doubt. I mean, to me, it's simple. I agree with Paul 100%. It's because you get to live out your wildest fantasies, and then it's that simple. And in the mortal words of the legendary Stan Lee, "Nuff said." You know,
I'll tell you what. I don't even know how to
Justin,
add on to that.
Remember, Justin. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Are we just going to quote Marvel lines for the entire
segment? Oh, it's so sad, Paul. This is when we start to geek out, Justin and I.
Okay, I'll deal with it.
Well, apparently he only likes playing magicians that actually have magical powers. He doesn't like playing actual working magicians.
I know, he likes supernatural powers. I know.
The crazy spells.
Sort of like Paul and me.
Exactly.
Wouldn't we all?
I guess that is a good point, right? I mean, like,
I've seen Paul. He's supernatural, that guy.
Right.
Well, hey, let's talk a little bit about the big event in New York City, Eric. I know you've been scrambling to put it together for the SAM. Tell us a little bit more about it.
Oh yeah, well, you know, I'm on the board of directors of the Parent Assembly, of the Society of American Magicians Parent Assembly number one, and been on the board for about 7 years. I'm also the dean. So I'm the front guy, and last year we celebrated the 100th anniversary, and we had this huge, big event. If you remember, we had 15 acts. The show, I think, is just about over. I think it's got another 15 minutes, and it'll be open. And it was a lot of fun. And so this year, when we sat down, we spent a lot of time, we wasted a lot of time discussing what we wanted to do. And finally, I said to Limson, guys, we can't outdo what we did last year. I mean, last year was just an incredible extravaganza. We had a huge budget. We worked it all out. However, I says, let's not try to even compete with that. Let's try something different. You know, I have my ulterior motives. I'm a close-up guy. I love close-up magic. That's my thing. I love parlor magic. And I've been always wished that we could always do a formal theatrical close-up show for the group as a salute to magic. So I used this as an opportunity to pitch my concept, and I was a little surprised when everyone just said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. So I had my homework cut out for me because I had to find somebody that I think that would fit the bill beautifully. And on the top of that list is the gentleman sharing the podcast with me, Paul Gertner, because not only do we have a common thread of having a similar director by the name of Bob Fitch, But I got to tell you, about 3 or 4 years ago, the last time I was at the 4F convention in Buffalo, which Paul was talking about going to his first convention and hitchhiking about a little while ago, I got to see Paul do a piece from his show. And it's a piece I've seen him do many times throughout the years. And he did it on Mr. Rogers when he was a kid. And it's a nice piece. But when I saw him do it at this version, after he's been working on this and his latest version of this, after working with Bob and everything, it was just on a complete, I'm telling you, Justin, it's on a completely different level. I mean, I was beaming. I mean, I was so proud of Paul Gertner, man, because he just took it to another level. It was emotional. He gave of himself. I mean, at the end of the piece that he did, I'm not even sure the name of the piece, Paul, but it's this, you know, it's the stick where he does this shrine thing, and it's, I felt like I knew him, and it was just, I'm telling you, I was doing cartwheels inside. I was so proud of Paul. It was just a beautiful thing. And since then, and going into conversations and talking to Paul and Paul agreeing to come in to do the Salute to Magic, I've had the opportunity to see some videos of his show and everything else. And I got to tell you, no one in New York is ready for this. This is going to be really, really spectacular. So I'm very proud, and I can't thank you enough, Paul, for agreeing to do this for us.
No, I'm excited to do it. I mean, initially I was like a little hesitant, as you know, because, you know, it's a lot of work to bring up a show like this, and you haven't done it for a while, and to rehearse it and get it in shape and so on. But we just did it 3 days here in Pittsburgh, and it
was sold out, right? It sold out all 3 days.
Sold out crowds. Yeah, we had sold out a little theater, 90 people every night. More people wanted to come and could see it, and standing ovations, and it felt great. And actually, what you suggest, what you're saying about that one piece that I did, the whole show now is sort of structured along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of an autobiographical story of a kid dreaming of being a magician and, you know, achieving it on some level.
No, and it's really great, Justin, because it's really Paul's life story. It's not a play that, you know, you're playing a character. He is playing himself. And who better to play himself than himself, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he takes you through this whole story of his life. And it's really, really very, very touching. And it's a side of Paul I've never seen before. And I'm very impressed. And I got to tell you, the guys who I've shared the video with and on the board of directors have been like, wow. So we're very, very excited about this. And again, I'm very personally excited about it. I mean, it's been a dream of mine to have someone like Paul to come in and to do his parlor show. And we have that as our salute to magic. It's the first time ever in the 101 years that we've had something like this, a one-man show. I think it's fantastic.
Well, let's get the details out there. When is it going to happen? How can people
It's going to happen May 1st. Which is in about 3 weeks at the Axis Theater in the heart of Greenwich Village. It's an incredible little theater. It seats 115. We boosted up the box office a little bit. It seats 99, but we boosted it up and got another 16 seats in there. The sight lines are incredible. I'm very lucky to have this theater. They've never hosted an event like this before. And it just hit it off with the owner of the theater. And was very, very lucky, very, very happy that we have this. And Paul's seen photographs of the theater. What do you think, Paul?
Mm-hmm. Looks great. Yeah. It's great sight lines and just a perfect little environment, intimate. That's the show. That's where it's going to work best.
So here's the deal, and I'm excited about this because the tickets went on sale, Justin, a week ago Thursday, on April 1st, believe it or not, and that's no joke. And within 24 hours, we sold out the whole show.
Well, there we go. So
we have a waiting list, and to get on that waiting list, this is what you got to do. Because I mean, you know, things happen, and you know, people cancel out. So we do have a waiting list, and to get on that waiting list, you need to contact the gentleman, our chairman of the board, and our ticket chairman by the name of Tom Clem, and you can reach him at 212-725-5258. And you call him, if he's not there, he has a machine there, you can leave a message and just say, please get me on the list because I can't live without seeing Paul Gertner, A Play of Magic, 10 Fingers. I can't live without it. Got to be there. So that's what you do.
Again. There we go. All right. And Paul, also in June, you're going to be at the Magic Castle doing your jazz magic thing that people saw. We posted the same routine that you did with Ted, right?
Yeah, one of the TED Talks I did recently with a friend of mine, Marty Ashby. We do a little program called Jazz Magic. And what it is it's sort of exploring the relationship between jazz and magic, of which there are many, you know, from the standpoint of they have standards, we have classics, certain techniques, certain people are more skilled in techniques, some more skilled in presentation and performance. And so we kind of do bonds back and forth. We wove in a little magic in between with he's a fabulous jazz guitarist. And we're going to run it at the Magic Castle for a week in June and just to, you know, play with it, work on it. And I got a couple people coming to see the show that want to book it and so on. So it'll be fun to do jazz magic.
Awesome. Yeah. Now people can get more information at the Magic Castle website, right?
Yeah, I just go to the Magic Castle website and they'll have it listed up. It's in June. Quite honestly, I can't even remember offhand. It's like the 20th of June, which week I'm there. I've got it on the schedule. but the castle post when Jazz Magic is going to be there in the parlor. We're doing it in the parlor.
Oh, that's a great, great room.
Late shift in the parlor.
Yeah
so that'll be fun.
Great room. So you're going to be doing it all week?
We're going to do it all week, yeah. But we'll be doing the late show. So I guess our shows are hopefully the audience will be cooperative.
you'll have no problem.
In the parlor could be a little
yeah, I've heard. Rough. I've heard.
We'll find that out. So we can handle it.
Well, Justin's going to be in at the Magic Castle for a week soon with Andrew, right?
Well, of course. Everybody. Rudy Kobe is playing the castle at the end of the month, and he decided to bring a bunch of his rapscallion friends along with him. So Andrew Main, Brian Brushwood, Chris Kenner, and Theory 11 Live are all going to be there, as well as other people who are familiar with the site. Dan Sperry, who's doing a great job with our new live show on Wednesdays. Bizarro is going to be there, and it's going to be an awesome time. So everybody, if you can make it out, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm really, really digging what the castle's doing. It just kind of seems like, more so now than any time in the last couple of years, there's just been a lot of really cool, interesting bookings at the castle, or different shows kind of being brought in. So I really got to hand it to them, because they've done, you know, a great job over the last couple of months.
Oh, I think without a doubt. I mean, you know, I got to do my thing there in September, which I was very happy about. I didn't think that was going to be possible, but Max made it possible. And from, you know, Jack Goldfinger is now running it.
Yeah.
And Jack is, you can't find a better guy to do it. I mean, Jack is just, Goldfinger and Dove, I mean, is a team, they're a great act, but they're just great people off stage. I mean, just wonderful, wonderful people. And I hear nothing but great things. I was handling all the booking there. So I'm very excited for the castle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So everybody, check it out. We should have some firm numbers for people to be able to call to get information. But I guess apparently because it's it's the private club membership thing. You can't just go out and say, hey, you know, call this number to buy tickets.
No, that's correct. But you can call your friend who's a member that can get you a ticket.
Yeah. And I think there's they figured out some kind of streamlined loophole where, you know,
you always got to read the fine print, Justin. Always got to read that.
Exactly. So, well, long story short, we're going to be able to get you a number sometime this week. If you just want to come and see, you know, Andrew, Brian, Chris, and Rudy.
I understand. All you have to do is no longer have to say Open Sesame to get the bookcase to open. I hear you have to say Justin Robert Young.
Exactly. You have to say iTricks.com, the world's leatest online magic source.
Then you're in the watchtower.
Well, there we go. There we go. As we mentioned at the top of the program, we have the Lance Burton update. The legendary Vegas magician who will be ending his run at the Monte Carlo at the end of the summer cited quote-unquote irreconcilable differences as the reason for the split in an interview with the AP, the Associated Press, that is. All right, guys, you know, if Lance Burton, you know, a guy who as much as anybody currently working embodies Las Vegas magic, if he can't see eye to eye with Monte Carlo, is magic just, you know, behind the eight ball, you know, at this time and place, and really what can arguably be called the capital of magic?
Yeah, I can't even pronounce this. Irreconcilable differences?
Irreconcilable differences.
Irreconcilable. Not so easy for me to say that. I got to go back and start practicing my enunciations with Fitch. But not for nothing. Not for nothing. But wasn't that, Justin, an old 80s movie that starred Ryan O'Neal and Shelley Long?
Irreconcilable differences. I'm sure. I'll tell you what. Let me look.
And wasn't that the same time frame when Lance won FISM? Isn't that a weird coincidence, or is it?
Well, here we go. All right, yeah, 1984.
There you go. And Lance won in 82, so it was right around there.
All right. So are you saying that the seeds have been set years ago for this?
I predicted this in 1984.
And in this sealed envelope, you are now going to reveal what you wrote down in the early 80s.
All the tricks are better than science. another example. Now, I don't know any of the details of Lance's agreement with the Monte Carlo and what the Monte Carlo wants to do with that theater. However, I've been hearing for quite a while now that business in Sin City is way down.
It is.
So I guess that has a lot to do with it. Plus, you know, magic may have had its run. I mean, for the past 15 plus years or more, it's been a dominating force in the entertainment choices in Las Vegas. And considering all the shows closing lately, not just in Las Vegas, but on Broadway, the magic wave may have run its course, you know?
I mean, that's depressing, though. I mean, how can that be? I mean, Paul, you can't stand for this, can you?
Well, I'm not so sure that there isn't another element involved here. And I mean, I remember having a conversation with Lance about 9 years into his 14-year, $100 million contract. And I said, so, you know, how many more years you got left on this, Lance? And so on. He sort of said 5 years and rolled his eyes and sort of winked at me and said, be careful what you wish for. And not that he didn't enjoy it or anything like that, but man, that's a lot of work and that's a lot of shows. And having just done my little show 3 times in a row in 3 days, I said to Kathy, could you imagine being Lance Burton? You know, like every damn day you got to do that show. And so after a while, you know, I mean, you don't need the money. I wonder, you know, if he didn't have a hard time deciding to sign up for another 6 years. And, you know, started to say, maybe not worth the effort, you know. I mean, I'm sure the economy probably factors in there, but still, man, that's a lot of shows. And, you know, if I were Lance, I'd be kind of go fishing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe that's it. I mean, we've certainly always heard that Lance, of course, one of the all-time kind of great guys in terms of...
Oh, great guy, phenomenal act. Phenomenal act and a great...
And one of those that you were always thrilled for his success. Sometimes there's somebody that's successful and you're saying, oh, they're not, you know, why them? But, you know, like Lance and Matt King, and there are a number of the guys in the business that just, you know, I say to people, you know, they deserve every stick of it, man. They work for it. And so it's, you know, it's good to see that kind of success, but how long can you keep up that level? I don't know. That's hard.
It's rough. And you know, we've heard that, you know, Lance, of course, is fiercely loyal and dedicated to his crew and the people that have worked with him forever on that show. So, you know, it certainly is something that, you know, it's sad to see, you know, him leave the Monte Carlo, obviously, because he was such a fixture there. My money, you know, since Las Vegas is a betting town, if I were to lay my scratch on one side or the other, I would say that we're going to see him pop up somewhere else. And you know, maybe, you know, another one of the big Las Vegas stories this week was that Steve Weirich's theater is now the, you know, going to be the David Sachs theater. So, you know, maybe that's a venue. Maybe that's a venue for Lance if he wanted to do a deal with Mr. Sachs.
It's a much smaller house.
Smaller house, you know, and it would automatically bring legitimacy to that venue, you know.
Oh, without a doubt, right.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a smaller house, though. You know, if you don't have to have the big bucks to cut. I mean, they had 1,500 seats in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a massive
theater. And especially when they started bringing in Frank Caliendo, you could kind of see the writing on the wall.
Without a doubt. Frank was working, what, 2 nights a week?
Yeah, and you know, what does Frank cost, you know, compared to, you know, a show like Lance's that, you know, is just a bigger operation.
Yeah,
you know, you had to pay for, you know, whatever, you know, Pixie does to make that car fly every night. Anyhow,
come on, that's a Stark Industries car.
Exactly. Oh, that's going to be demoed at Stark Expo, apparently.
That's what I hear.
All right. Well, that about brings us to the end of this this podcast. I do want to thank Eric DeCamps. Thank you again for helping us out.
Oh man, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. So it's always good to visit with you, Justin.
Oh, absolutely. And Paul, thank you very, very much for coming on. We hope to have you back sometime real soon.
That'd be great, Justin. I appreciate it. It was fun.
All right, everybody. Remember the SAM, the Society of American Magicians, Salute to Magic in New York City is
May 1st.
May 1st.
Oh, and by the way, there's 2 showings. We're having a 3 p.m. and a 7 p.m. We're going to wring out every little bit of magic out of Mr. Gertner.
There we go. And Eric, can you give away that number?
Oh, yeah, sure. Again, the contact is Tom Clem, ticket chairman, and his number is 212-725-5258. Just tell him I can't live without my Paul Gertner.
Yes. Say, I heard Paul Gertner on the Magic Week in Review, and now I'm in a frenzied mood to make sure that I get to go see his show. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Magic Week in Review podcast. Remember, show@itricks.com is where you can email in any comments, concerns, or complaints about this very podcast or anything else on the site. My name is Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
itricks.com.
at iTrix, we always tell you that we're going to bring you things first, okay? And so right now, we're going to be bringing something that nobody else has. Ladies and gentlemen, the first ever interview with Zoe Kenner. Zoe, how are you doing? What's been your favorite lecture so far? How ticklish are you? This is really funny visually, and it is going to be death audio. So what do you think? When are the Totally Out of Control DVDs going to come out? Come on, say something so they don't think I'm just holding this up to the wall. Yeah, it's a mic. It's a microphone.
Yeah. Tell everybody how you like MagiCon.
Do you like MagiCon?
Did you like Daddy? Did you watch your daddy?
Was it funny when your dad got hit in the crotch with a Velcro ball? And now she's actually hitting the record button. This interview's over. I'm sorry, folks. We tried our best.